Hey everyone, you're listening to a Good Friday message from Pastor Matt Erickson entitled Real Sacrifice. This week he'll be focusing on Matthew 26:31 through 27:56 on this standalone message. Be sure to check out the study guide for this week's message on our website, eastbrook.org/holyweek2021.
I still remember the mingled horror and beauty of that place. It's a family, we were walking across the fields of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and remembering at that over 6,000 acre national park, the 160,000 Union and Confederate troops that faced one another in 3 days at the end of July 1863, right at the beginning actually of July. And 30% of those who participated in that three-day battle were casualties. Over 7,000 people died. More than 33,000 were wounded. And just shy of 11,000 people were lost after that event. It was strange because it's such a horrific battle, and yet it was such a beautiful day. As we strode with our kids across that and went from site to site and remembered all those who had given their lives at that historic moment. And then eventually we came to that place where President Abraham Lincoln, just 4 months after the battle had happened, strode to the podium and gave, after the person before him gave an incredibly long address of almost 2 hours, Lincoln, in less than 2 minutes, delivered what became known as the Gettysburg Address. That short speech, Lincoln described the Union soldiers sacrifice as the last full measure of devotion. And then he simultaneously called the nation toward resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. When you see someone make a sacrifice for a cause that they believe in, that's a good cause, we step back and we revere that. We honor that, whether it's someone sacrificing their life for a good cause on a battlefield or someone standing up for justice for the least of these, whether it's someone caring in a quiet back room of their family home for a family member who's sick or dying, or whether it's someone giving their life in the sake that young people who otherwise might not have a good education can get it. When we see that happen, someone sacrifice for something good, we step back and we honor that. And we tell those stories, and they inspire us to do the same sort of thing. But there are different kinds of sacrifices that are quite unlike those. It's the sacrifice where we see someone in leadership step back from what they believe in, and we say in that moment that that leader has sacrificed their moral leadership. Or we see someone make an error and a sin, or to make a terrible wrong in their own convictions, and we might say they have sacrificed their integrity. We see through these situations that there's a difference between good sacrifices and bad sacrifices, between false sacrifices and something that we could say this is a real sacrifice. It's the same sort of thing that we see actually in the story of the passion, from Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane all the way till his crucifixion and his burial in the tomb. It's littered with a trail of false sacrifices. We can think about Judas, who sacrificed his hope in who Jesus was, he thought, for 30 pieces of silver and watched from a distance as everything went down and eventually took his own life. We can think about the disciples who, when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, suddenly they flee and they sacrifice their commitment to Jesus. Those who had been so close for so long now, oh, they're nowhere to be found. Think about Peter, who sacrifices his friendship and trails off in the distance and hides out in the fire-lit courtyard of the high priest and watches as his rabbi and friend falls under the weight of false accusations. It's not just the disciples that make these kind of false sacrifices. We see the high priest and the religious leaders sacrifice humility and justice as in a trumped up sort of trial they hand Jesus over in grinding him up in the gears of their own self-serving power. We see Pilate, who washes his hands of responsibility and sacrifices his own commitment to due process, and listening to the voice of the crowd, just sort of says, do whatever you want. And then we see the crowds, the fickle crowds who just several days before were acclaiming the Son of David who has come in the name of the Lord with loud hosannas, and now some of those same voices are screaming for Jesus' crucifixion. Think about the soldiers who sacrifice their common humanity with Jesus as they strip him and beat him to a bloody pulp. There's no longer a human being there, just a pound of flesh to be abused. And as he's fixed on the cross, the passersby and the onlookers, they offer the sacrifice of scoffing as they say, come on down, can't you save yourself? And all through this story, as we think about what's happening, we know in our minds, if we were there, we would have been one of the disciples who stood firm with Jesus. If we were there, surely we would have been the lone voice in that religious leaders' gathering calling out for justice to be upheld for Jesus. If we were Pilate, we think, we wouldn't have washed our hands. We would have said, no, this must not happen. If we were one of those soldiers, certainly we would have laid our whips down and not done what our bosses asked us to do. If we were in that crowd, we would have been, we believe sometimes, the lone voice saying, no, save Jesus. Surely we would have done something else. Surely, surely. But we know, when we look into our hearts, that we're just like everybody else. We're in the story because humanity is in the story, and we too would have found our hearts falter. And we know that's true because Jesus didn't come because humanity was strong and able to stand. Jesus came in because humanity falls again and again and again and again, and that's our story too. Lord, have mercy is right. Think with me for a moment about the sacrifice of the Father, though. The Father who chooses not to hold back his Son, but to send his Son into the midst of our world that's torn with the pain of sin and evil and brokenness and darkness in so many ways. Think with me about the Father who did not hold back the treasure of heaven, but poured out his lavish gift upon an earth that needed to be touched by God's grace. Think with me of the Father who watched, knowing as he sent his Son after all his prodigal children, that that great travel from heaven would end up in the great tribulation. Veil of the cross. Think about the Father's great sacrifice. And then think about Jesus. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, but it comes at a great cost. Think with me about Jesus, who sacrifices his dignity and his clothing as he is hoisted up vulnerable and naked upon the cross. Think with me about Jesus, who sacrifices his safety as he is beaten and scourged, though he has done no wrong. Think with me about Jesus for a minute as he breathes his last breaths and his lungs fill with fluid and the suffocation of which crucifixion is, as he breathes out, Father, forgive them. Think with me about Jesus, the great and scandalous sacrifice of God by which we are saved. Think with me for a moment about all the false and failed sacrifices that we have made in our lives that have led Jesus to this place. Consider with me Jesus. Look at him. Look at him. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Think with me about the words that Paul the apostle wrote when he said these things. God made him who had no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Think with me about the mingled horror and beauty of that day, that Good Friday. And as we think about our failed lives and all the things that led Jesus there just from us, from me, as we think about that, may we be led into the wonder of the grace of God's great sacrifice in Christ. May we look at Jesus and may we remember the unearned grace, the lavish love that we, all the prodigal children, have been welcomed home. To find that God, who could have given us judgment, took it upon himself that we might go free and have life. Oh, look at him. Look at him. Amen? We're going to come to the table because we want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And if you're here in person, I hope that you were able to get on the way in elements as part of our communion time together. If you're with us via live streaming at home, I welcome you to prepare your elements right now. You know, communion is our chance to look at Jesus, to consider again the great sacrifice of Jesus, our Savior. We remember his death, his life, and we look towards his resurrection. And no other time, perhaps, as Good Friday is so apt for us to draw near to the communion table, to pause, to reflect, to be still and remember. So let me pray for us as we approach the table of the Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, maker of all things, judge of all people, who with great mercy has promised forgiveness and deliverance to all who turn to you with hearty repentance and true faith, we confess that we have sinned against you, and we know that we are hopeless without your grace. Have mercy upon us, O merciful Father. Have mercy upon us and pardon us from all our sins. Thank you for the promise of Scripture that when we confess our sins, you're faithful and you're just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a gift. Now, Lord, as we approach this communion meal, we lift our hearts to you. We celebrate the great mystery of our faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us in great power that we might experience anew the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Particularly on this Good Friday, would you bring into reality the manifest wonder and sober reality of Jesus' death for us. And as we participate in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of this cup, may the presence of Christ, who gave his body and blood for all, be richly, powerfully present as you make each of us alive in you. Would you draw us as one together, as a community, and one in service to the world that you love so much. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, who is the great Lamb of God and the Passover sacrifice of this Good Friday. We pray it in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Matt Erickson. At this time, we welcome you to join us for our weekend services by RSVPing for an in-person service or joining us online at eastbrook.org/at-home. For more information on Eastbrook, visit our website at eastbrook.org.